Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Money can be tough for people to talk about. We obviously, on this show, do not have a problem talking about money. We do it every single week. But for some people, it's really, really hard. And then focus the topic. Salary. That is really, really, plus really, really hard to the order of 20 for people. We're going to talk today about the importance of salary transparency, and our guest is Jessica Moorhouse. She's a Canadian money expert. She is the host of the More Money podcast. Hello there.
Hi.
Why is salary transparency important in Canada in today's day and age?
I wish there was more transparency when I started my corporate career before I went self-employed, because I made so many mistakes and I left thousands and thousands of dollars on the table because I never knew what the salary range for any of the jobs that I had ahead of time. None of them posted them at the time. And I didn't think to talk to other people in similar industries, similar jobs, to be like, hey, what should I ask for? There was no information. I think the only differences. There was one job I had, this one kind of second job I had, and it was union. And so there was a booklet. It had everyone's rate. So it was very clear. And it was great because there was no office politics in terms of, oh, that person's making more and they're really not very good at their job. Everyone, there was no conversations about money as much. It was a really nice experience. And so I always kind of thought, why aren't more companies adopting this? Mm-hmm. It will, you know, alleviate a lot of tension, and you could probably not only do a better job of recruiting the best talent, but keep people who feel like they're being undervalued, because maybe through the grapevine, they find out that they're actually making less than their counterparts.
So we can look at this question or challenge from the perspective of the individual, and we can look at it from the perspective of the organization. If we start from the organization, you mentioned mm-hmm. union jobs, you mentioned pay ranges. What are some of the things that would be considered best practices in terms mm-hmm. of salary transparency for organizations? What things should organizations be doing?
Yeah, well, I feel like usually the conversation around pay transparency is about recruiting new people. It's like, you know, post that on your job posting, because most, I feel like I read a stat earlier today that was like 37% of jobs posted in Ontario are transparent with their salaries. The rest aren't. And that's not that many companies that are saying, this is how much we're going to pay you. And still, they're not even really specifically saying, this is how much. Here's a range. And the range could deviate by like $20,000. And obviously, you're like, I would like the top range, please. But they may not give that to you. But the other thing that when I was doing research for this, I didn't really consider is what the effects will be on current employees. If there's transparency on those job postings, then current employees will then be like, that's how much I should be paying. And then there needs to be discussions on how do we equalize that? Will those employees be like, fine, I'm going to go somewhere else and actually get paid, because hey, those jobs are telling me what I can get paid. Or do we have to do a lot of shifting? So it's one thing to say there should be more job transparency or pay transparency. It is complicated in actually doing that to make sure that everyone is happy, because not everyone's going to be happy. If you were to find out, for example, when I was Googling this, I came up on an article and actually found myself quoted in it. I'm like, oh, I forgot about that. And I was sharing, I know, isn't that funny? And I was sharing my experience of working for a bunch of organizations. And it was only on the way out that I would ask my coworkers, how much do you make? Because there was just no, you know, there's no risk, you know, there's no jealousy to be had. I was on my way out. And every time I found out that I was making less than a lot of people. And I wish that I had known this information before, but I wish that I didn't have to go about it on my own. I wish the onus was on the company a little bit more, because, you know, when it gets around in these backdoor conversations, it's just going to cause a lot of tension and just feelings of resentment. And usually it should be directed towards the company. And sometimes it's not, it's towards your coworkers.
Mm-hmm. So if we say that, and I think we are saying that there is a role for individuals to play here, it'd be great mm-hmm. if there was transparency at the organizational level. There's not, maybe mm-hmm. one day, but not today. How do you approach this? How do you mm-hmm. have this conversation with others in a way that is, I don't know, socially acceptable?
Yeah, I found that it's very difficult to have those conversations with people within your company. Maybe if they're in a different department, so there's kind of no conflict and there's no way of like, well, I don't want you to find out how much I make because what if you're going to try to take my job? If you can have these conversations with people that are in similar roles, similar industries, so you can kind of do a side-by-side comparison, but again, there's no, I'm not coming for your job. I'm just trying to find out information. That's what I found very successful. And luckily now there are websites like Glassdoor and stuff that do have this information. Usually employees on their way out, then they post, this is my experience with the employer. This is how much I got paid. So that does help. One personal experience I've had is when I became, well, even before I became self-employed, I was, you know, doing kind of what I do now part-time. And I was talking to other, you know, content creators. And when we were talking to brands and doing negotiations, we would, you know, often talk about, hey, how much do you think I should charge? Or how much would you charge? Or I saw you did this similar campaign. What was the range? And you would think that there would be like some sense of competition. And again, some people maybe thought that as well. But I found that was the rising tide raises all boats. If we all ask for more, then it's easier for the next person to ask more instead of shooting yourself in the foot, asking for less. And then the next time you work with that company or the next time some other content creator wants to work, then they are going to get less. So I found that was actually really great to have these conversations, but make sure you're not just asking how much did you make, how much did you charge, because some people are uncomfortable giving a specific number. Ask for a range, or even just a, if you were in this position, what do you think you would ask for?
Salary transparency lives inside of a context in our culture, and that context is that women make less than men. Yeah. When mm-hmm. we look at this in aggregate, it's just true. How do you weave that into your thinking about how women advocate for themselves and how senior women, senior mm-hmm. men yeah. can ensure that in the organizations they run, that there is equity on salaries?
Yeah. Well, I'd say from the organizational standpoint, that is where we need to make sure that there is somebody or a team of people that are involved with really looking at who is getting paid what and looking at some of those demographics. Because often like, oh, maybe it's just that they're, you know, less valuable employees, but there's actually a bias for a lot of hiring managers that they just think that women are less valuable workers, where if you were to look at the numbers, the output, all that kind of stuff, they aren't. And so we need to have some checks and balances in the hiring process so these biases don't run the show, which they still kind of do. The other thing that you mentioned is, you know, it is unfortunately, the onus is sort of on the individual woman to have to negotiate. You see this all the time on social media, you know, influencers talking about, oh, you need to negotiate. And it is kind of frustrating because you're like, why does it have to be my issue that I have to, you know, I'm getting paid 83 cents on the dollar. Why do I have to fill that gap? Why can't it? It's actually a systemic issue. It's not my issue. And also, there's a ton of stories out there of a friend who, you know, brings up this research often on her own Instagram. Her name's Stephanie O'Connell, talking about the real stories of women negotiating, asking for more, and then getting the job offer rescinded. That is a thing that often happens. And so there is a real fear for women to, if I ask for more, they're going to take the job away and give it to this other woman who is maybe a, you know, equal candidate to me, who's not asking for more. So there's not really an easy, you know, answer to this. I think it is important to negotiate. That's one thing I look back on, wish I did more of, but the onus really shouldn't be on the individual. It should be on the system. And so I feel like the people within those systems need to be more vocal and need to make sure that there are ways of keeping things accountable. And especially if you're in a position of authority, this is really up to you. This is really your problem.
Yeah. So you mentioned that as a potential pitfall or a risk that you may advocate yeah. for yourself and the hiring manager either thinks you're asking for too much or may infer from what is a simple negotiation, something about your temperament that they feel is inconsistent yeah. with their culture that they might not say if you were.
Of course not.
We'll just put that to the side for 1 second. Mm-hmm. Are there any other risk factors or pitfalls that you would say, listen, we should just have our eyes wide open here mm-hmm. as individuals? I'm not looking at it yeah. systemically here yeah. for individuals.
I mean, I think especially if you are a woman or marginalized in any way and you do fit, you know, you were earning less than a cis white man, basically, the truth is there are certain industries that have more bias, that have more issues. And so it is really up to you. Do you want to fight the good fight and, you know, go up against this huge system that is going to take a long time to fix? Or do you want to work somewhere else where they're a little bit more equal, a little bit more open? It's a tricky situation. Just as an example, my last corporate job was at a law firm, the most old traditional industry in the world, very male dominated.
I can smell the mahogany.
There was a lot of that. And I remember thinking, I was there for almost 3 years and I hadn't gotten a raise, and I, you know, created a completely different role than what I was hired and had a lot of results and output. And I just kind of realized I cannot fight this big beast, and this is too hard for me. So if I need to take care of myself and I want to, you know, grow in my career, I want to earn money, I can't do it here. And so sometimes it is about understanding that and leaving and going to a place that will help you grow. And sometimes that means a different company. Sometimes that means starting your own business.
Which is what you did.
Which is what I did.
And hooray for you. Sometimes those shoes are made for walking.
Yeah, they are.
Jessica, thank you for joining us. Appreciate
Thanks for having me.
Jessica Morehouse, Canadian money expert, host of the More Money podcast. She was here to talk about salary transparency, a topic we should, we're going to have to continue to talk about over and over and over, probably for a long period of time.